In retrospect, most of my life has been involved with hunting, whether it was being taught by my unforgiving grandfather on Buffalo Creek, my first forays into the bars and saloons of northern Wyoming as a teenager, intercepting defensive backs at USC, the jungles of Vietnam, or simply being a sheriff. That was what I was doing now, in hopes that whatever was out here would find me and had not found Dog. Something was definitely moving, stealthily and under the cover, moving as I would have if I'd needed to. I didn't even swallow for fear that it might make a sound, although I needn't to have worried. I doubted I could work up enough spit to bother swallowing. There was that bit of movement again, but this time I had the advantage, its color not providing it with much camouflage. It was a young one, but pretty good size, and it's possible it had followed a relative of the elk Barrett had chased in his canyon. The big cat had come up empty-handed, however, and was now working his way out, or it was possible he smelled blood and that I was his late-night room service. I waited a moment more till he was only about 40 feet away before straightening and letting him get a good look at who and what I was. I've had numerous encounters with mountain lions in the wild, and even though I could never be sure what they do, I had a pretty good idea, which made it all that more puzzling when it turned its head and looked at me with those huge eyes and headed directly toward me. I blinked. Raising the Colt, I thought about firing off a shot into the air, but then figured I'd scare Dog and worry Henry. Of course, it was possible that I was looking at the creature who might have killed my dog, but this youngster would not have had the experience and was injury and blood free. He wasn't stalking me, but kept moving in my direction, and I wondered if he'd seen me after all. I lifted the gun a little higher, not thinking he'd know what it was, but animals can read confidence in a fellow hunter, and there's nothing more unnerving than moving in for the kill on something that shows no fear. Then it did something I was surprised by. It looked over its shoulder, back into the murk of the canyon. Something was following it, pushing it, perhaps even hunting it. What the heck hunted cougars? It was about 20 feet away when he turned back to me and picked up his pace, almost as if he were relieved to be in my company. He didn't head right at me, but swerved a little, and I thought he might be sidling up to hit me from behind. Instead, he just circled a little and pulled up about 10 yards away before backtracking and looking from where he'd come. I'd never seen a wild animal act the way this one did, standing there, ignoring me and looking into the black squeeze of the canyon. Clasping the stag grips on my .45, I stared into the gloom. Nothing. When I looked at the cougar again, he was backing away, his attention having returned to the canyon. The shadow of the moon crawled across the rock sides of the cliffs like a living thing, seemingly moving twice as fast as it actually was, like a time lapse. I glanced back at the sky and tried to get a read on this phenomenon, but then figured it had to be something to do with my head wound. I turned back to the darkness and, as I did, felt something in my chest, almost like there was a tide pulling me forward, and when I moved to my right to catch my balance, the tiny trees around me danced, and the mountain lion continued to back away until he disappeared. I tried to turn, but now my feet wouldn't move. So I raised my sidearm for what good that would do. I was almost to the point of pulling the trigger when, in the dead silence, I heard something that was barely audible, a sad song that seemed to be echoing inside my head. I turned just a bit to listen. It was in Cheyenne. But I had heard this song before and understood. I watched the trees sway to the rhythm. They gained an energy that enabled them to swirl in patterns that created tendrils of gloom which struck their way across the rocks like cracks in glass, reflecting an endless night each time, transforming from white to pink. Bring me back. I don't belong here. And I want to go home. It was a bundle of something, in the heart of the darkness, almost like swaddling cloth that seemed to unfold like a flower that bloomed until the pink gave way to a crimson red, and the flower became a hand that extended toward me. I stretched my fingers and felt the small hand grab them. There was a shock that ran through me and ended in my other hand, causing my fingers to involuntarily shudder and spasm and contract. The .45 in my hand went off like a lightning strike.